Welcome to day 17 of our 180-day journey through the Westminster Standards. We've finished with Providence, and now we begin a new theme. In chapter 6 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, the subject is the fall of man, sin, and the punishment thereof. So let's look at the shorter catechism, question 14. What is sin? The answer, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Want there is the older English meaning lacking, like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. Sin is any lack of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. The proof for that is in the New Testament, 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You can either lack conformity or you can violate it. Like the fourth commandment, work 6 days and rest on the seventh. Well, you can work one day and then you violate part of your lacking conformity to that part of the law, or you can work on the Sabbath and then transgress that part of the law of God. The larger catechism adds Galatians 3:10, that everyone that continues not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them is under a curse. The man that does them shall live in them. Having defined sin, the catechisms now pick up from where we left off, really in the chapter on creation. Now, if you'll go back, we had the chapter on how God executes his eternal decrees, and he does this through the works of creation and providence. And when we discussed creation, we discussed the creation of man, and we found that he was created in holiness and righteousness, male and female, with dominion over the creatures. And so, shorter catechism question 13 now picks up with that and the history in the Bible and asks, did our first parents continue in the estate wherein they were created, in that righteousness and holiness state? And the answer is, our first parents, being left to the freedom of their own will, fell from the estate wherein they were created by sinning against God. And of course, the narrative there is Genesis 3, and the confession gives us, starting at verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Now, just a point of technicality, the King James doesn't give the best translation, and a lot of other translations follow this, but in the Bible, whenever God comes in judgment, the Bible describes it as the day of the Lord. There's also a whole lot going on from the very first verse in Genesis, the very first chapter, where it talks about the Spirit moving on the face of the water. Moses, who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, uses that word in Genesis 1-2, moving over the face of the waters, another place in Deuteronomy, and the word there is flutter. And the idea here is it's the fluttering of wings, and it's the fluttering of all the angels' wings. And on the day of the Lord, you usually have the presence of angels. And what the Hebrew literally says in that verse, verse 8 of Genesis 3, they heard the voice of the Lord coming through the garden in the cool of the day. It's actually the word spirit. And it's the idea of the spirit and the angels and God coming in the spirit of the day, not the cool of the day, like it's like a nice time in the afternoon, but in the spirit of the day of the Lord, coming in the spirit of the day of the Lord, coming in the spirit of judgment. And that's why Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, because they heard the Lord God coming through the garden in the spirit of the day of judgment. Verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And then the catechism also adds Ecclesiastes 7:29, truly this I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes, inventions, devices. Then we just read question 14 from the Shorter Catechism, what is sin? And then question 15 is, what was the sin whereby our first parents fell from the estate wherein they were created? And the answer, the sin whereby our first parents fell from the estate wherein they were created was their eating the forbidden fruit. And we just read verse 6 from Genesis 3, talking about the fall of man. The woman saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit, did eat, and gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And verse 12 is added, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So we've now come from man being created in knowledge and holiness and righteousness, and now falling from the estate wherein they were first created. And so we pick up in chapter 6 of the Confession of Faith, of the fall of man, of sin, and the punishment thereof. And section 1 of chapter 6 of the Confession says, our first parents, being seduced by the subtlety and temptations of Satan, sinned in eating the forbidden fruit. This, their sin, God was pleased, according to his wise and holy counsel, to permit, having purposed to order it to his own glory. Okay, the sinning of the forbidden fruit, once again, Genesis 3:13, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And also, 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As to God purposing this to his own glory, Romans 11:32 says, God has concluded them all in unbelief so that he might have mercy upon all. So all of this works to show, for God to show his mercy and for God to get the glory. Now, more than just the fall of Adam and Eve, the catechisms now say that all mankind fell in Adam's sin. And so that's Shorter Catechism question 16 and Larger Catechism question 22. So we'll read first from the Shorter Catechism. Actually, they're almost the same. Shorter Catechism 16, did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? Answer, the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself but for his posterity, all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. The Larger Catechism adds one phrase, the covenant being made with Adam as a public person, not for himself only but for his posterity, all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation. And the Larger Catechism here adds a footnote that the Shorter Catechism doesn't have, Acts 17:26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in Adam and fell with Adam in that first transgression. And here we have Genesis 2:16, the command. God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Compared with Romans 5:12-20, the catechism here gives us kind of a summary of that long passage, but the whole of Romans 5 is worth reading in this connection. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 15, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and so forth. Verse 16, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, and so forth. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so. And then verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience, and so forth. So the catechism here is showing that Adam's sin was not just affecting himself, but that we all sinned in him. We all fell with Adam as Protestant and Reformed theologians are usually speak of it, Adam was our federal head or our federal representative. And then compare also Genesis and Romans with 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And that's why 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of Christ as the second Adam. Okay, what happened with the fall? Shorter Catechism 17 and Larger Catechism 23. Into what estate did the fall bring mankind? Answer, the fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. Both catechisms have Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the Larger Catechism adds Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick this up, continue the discussion of the fall of man, of sin, and of the punishment thereof with section 2 of chapter 6 of the Confession, which talks about the doctrine of total depravity. And just scenes from Coming Attractions, section 2 says, by this sin they fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and so became dead in sin, and wholly defiled in all parts and faculties of soul and body. And we'll see the scriptural proof for that tomorrow. See you then.